Finances And, Rewire for Wealth with Kathy Pfefferhahn. Finances And, in conjunction with my company, Capital Coaching, helps people achieve their financial goals through personal, tailored, and attentive financial coaching services. Together, we create a successful financial plan by examining your spending and saving habits, then guiding and educating you to your own personal successes. You can also purchase my workbook, Finances And Your Spending Planner Workbook, at lulu.com or click the link here in the show notes. Coaching services include evaluation of your spending plan, building your savings, financing your retirement, examining your insurance needs, and planning for your individual future goals. Please contact me at capitalcoaching.net to make an appointment for your free consultation. Women are often worried about their ability to manage their finances. This is not limited to women, but it is statistically shown that women invest 48% compared to 68% of the men. Today, I'm going to be sharing a terrific book I read called Rewire for Wealth: 3 Steps Any Woman Can Take to Program Their Brain for Financial Success, which is a story of Barbara Husson, and she was on her own journey to become more capable when it came to educating herself on finances, planning, and investing. There are so many lessons here for us to take away, but I'm going to focus on her story, what she calls kicking the habit, and finally, the wealth connection. The book, Rewire for Wealth, delves into the relationship between the human brain and financial success, asserting that our mindset and beliefs play a crucial role in our financial outcomes. It addresses the unique hurdles and societal conditioning that women often face when it comes to money, offering practical strategies to rewire their brain for wealth creation. In the first step, the author explores the concept of mindset transformation. She helps readers identify and challenge limiting beliefs and self-sabotaging patterns that may be holding them back from achieving financial success. By uncovering deep-seated money beliefs, the book provides effective techniques to reprogram the mind for abundance and financial confidence. The second step focuses on developing a strategic financial plan. The author emphasizes the importance of setting clear financial goals and creating a roadmap to achieve them. Through practical exercises and advice, readers learn how to create a personalized wealth-building strategy, including budgeting, investing, and debt management. The book also emphasizes the significance of financial education and offers resources to expand readers' financial knowledge. Barbara says that she was raised financially clueless because her parents and their parents before them were unconsciously conditioned by the prevailing norms. Let's face it, we got so much of our education from our family, and that includes what we aren't told by them because their parents couldn't or didn't explain things to them. She tells her story of how her husband was a gambler and lost almost all of her money. Once she left them, she began her own financial education so that she could raise her 3 daughters and never feel stupid about money again. Like most of us, she started by reading. She also attended classes to help build her financial skills. In hindsight, she felt like her staying stupid was a form of self-protection, that she'd been willing to give up all the power to her husband by not participating in their finances. Now, most of us aren't living off of a trust like she was, but avoiding financial aspects of your relationship may sound familiar to many of us. She states, "Men see investing in the market as a challenge. Women see investing as a threat. Since our prehistoric brains were wired for the sole purpose of survival, anytime we feel threatened, our rational brain shuts down, sending us into fight, flight, or freeze mode." That shutting down when confused is an ancient reaction to financial information as well. Women tend to outperform men in the market for these same reasons. They're not as self-assured, so instead of buying and selling stocks, they buy and hold, which, as I have mentioned before, is truly the best strategy for growth over the long haul. And investing should be the long haul for most of us. She believes that confident investments combine psychology, the study of the mind, spirituality, personal finance, or the fundamentals, and neuroscience, study of the brain, to rewire their brains and be successful. In 2015, 80% of the women surveyed said that they were protecting themselves financially. This came from women of all educations and salary brackets. In 2021, Fidelity surveyed women again and found 64% would like to be more active in their finances. The needle is moving. We need to consciously change our brains. Since wealth is often just a part of our habits, again, what you see or what you didn't see as a kid, we need to retrain our brains to make choices that create wealth to grow. The simplest part of savings is leaving it alone. Compound interest is when you are paid interest on your money, but as time passes, you're also paid interest on the interest you've already earned, not just the original amount called the principal. If you put $1,000 in savings, sadly, most women do that and don't invest, then you can earn 2% on that $1,000, and at the end of a year, you'll have $1,020. But next year, you'll earn more money because you'll be earning interest on that new balance of $1,020. It doesn't sound like a lot, but after 20 years, that will be $1,485. Now imagine that you've put $1,000 in with monthly additions of, let's say, $50. That $1,000 is now going to be worth $16,064 in 20 years. Investor.gov has a simple calculator that you can play with by entering an initial amount, monthly additional payments, and an expected interest rate. You can get this number from your bank and then shop around for a better one. Many women worry about the market going up and down, and it does. But the returns are higher when you buy low and then sell high. When the market goes down and you have a stock or an exchange-traded fund that you'd like to buy, it's like buying on sale. You'll get more shares because the price is down. And when they go up, you'll have more shares to sell. It's like waiting for shoes to go on sale, like a buy one, get one. You're going to get more for the same cost. So far, the market has always gone up, even if sometimes it takes longer than others. Like almost everything worth having, your level of commitment to reprogramming your brain's old beliefs and finances matters. She asks you to do it right now. Write down right now how much you need to be wealthy. Go ahead, pause the podcast and write down the number that you need to have. Here's the thing. Wealth is not an amount, but a mindset. Instead of focusing on a single number, consider that wealth is having enough so that you're not stressed or distracted by money, and that you can craft your secure and meaningful life. So how do we do this? She suggests four things. First of all, spend less. It's that easy. But because of bad habits and blind spots, we overspend. To make this happen, use a pencil and paper, because writing really does reshape our pathways in our brains in a way that a computer can't, and track every dollar you spend and earn over 3 months. After a few weeks, I found it to be a few days, you'll start to think about things before spending. Now spending is an active decision that you're making and not just doing. This tracking may not paint a rosy picture of your spending habits, but you will honestly know your financial spending story. It's not about deprivation, but slowing down. Instead of insert an item here, say nails or massages or coffee, don't deprive yourself. However, maybe do it less often. Those who wrote down their spending found in a 4-month study on willpower, published in the book Power of Habit, that their finances not only improved, but they ate junk food less, drank less, and smoked less than ever before. Their money and their bodies became healthier. The next thing she says is we need to save more. The Federal Reserve found in 2019 that 2 out of 5 Americans could cover an emergency expense of $400. Luckily, step one, write it down and spend less, means you'll have more to save. Maybe it's only a little more, but any amount is better than none. Automating savings that pay yourself first by asking your company or your bank to transfer an amount, you get to decide how much, from each paycheck, then you'll never notice how much you've taken out of your paycheck. My company has a similar option where I can have my paycheck go into multiple accounts when paid, so I never have to move my money or worry about it being enough at the end of the month. With all your savings, start an emergency fund that's not for spending until you're faced with an unexpected bill. ACs break, cars get hit, or maybe your hot water heater leaked into your basement. These are all reasons to bust into this saved emergency money. Try to put 8 to 12 months of needed living expenses in here. This would be available if you lost your job and needed to cover the basics of food and shelter. A new car or vacation plans are not what this is to be used for. But you can open another account and begin funding something specific if that's what you'd like to do. The next step, she says, is invest. This is going to show you how your money will grow and work for you. She says there are only 2 ways to invest, either own or loan. You can own shares of stock. You can loan your money by buying bonds. You can own real estate. You can loan your money by giving it to a bank or CDs or money market accounts or short-term treasury bills. or you can own commodities like gold, oil, or farming commodities like wheat or cattle. Finally, she advocates for generously contributing to charity. Even if you aren't motivated by helping yourself in retirement, most people do want to be able to help others to contribute to their communities and make the world a better place. Giving to others makes you feel good in ways that you can't get just from saving. I'm going to leave these last two suggestions with you, and that is to read something every day about money, including listening to podcasts. That way, you're slowly reinforcing your understanding of finances and getting used to the language of money. You'll also keep up with current financial trends. However, I'm going to warn you against watching financial news on TV. If you do stumble onto it, you're going to notice that everything is doom and gloom. They need to do that so that you'll keep watching. So be aware of it and try to avoid it. The second thing is talk about money with someone weekly. It can be how your finances are going, or asking others how they got smarter, or even asking about mistakes. What's the best advice they got? And of course, you can find a class, one that's not selling you something, and try it out. Local community colleges often have these types of education available. I really enjoyed reading Barbara's way of conversational writing and her tips for planning and working towards financial success. I hope you'll enjoy it too. This is Kathy Pfefferhahn. Thanks for listening to Finances and Rewire for Wealth. I know you chose to listen and I'm grateful. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow or subscribe for free in your podcast provider and share your favorite episode with a friend. I'd love you to leave a review. It helps bring financial education to others and lets people find me more easily. Please let me know what questions you'd like answered on any financial topics by going to the website at financesand.net and leaving me a message. You can also contact Capital Coaching for your personal financial needs at capitalcoaching.net. Remember, I went to school, so you don't have to. Finances And does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing in this podcast is to be construed as such. Always consult a tax, accounting, or legal professional for advice on your specific situation.